You're listening to an edited version of the live Voices of Montana statewide radio program. Find us on Facebook and subscribe for further podcasts wherever you get your audio on demand. I'm Tom Schultz, host of the program. Thanks for joining us, and please feel free to contact me at studio@voicesofmontana.com.
Al Ward is in studio. He's the president of AARP Montana. Been a volunteer with that program since 2009. Storied career in law enforcement and in the military as well. A couple of books, education-wise, a master's in adult education from Seattle University. And our guest today is in Seattle. It's Chuck Harwood with the Federal Trade Commission. He is the Northwest Regional Director for the FTC. Good morning, Chuck. How you doing?
Good morning, Tom, and good morning to you, Al.
Good morning.
Thank you for being here. We miss you out in Montana. There's room for you here, you know.
I miss Montana. I wish I was there.
Someday. Okay, we're here. Let's talk, and I'm just going to open it up with the first question. Is this holiday shopping season probably the most, do we see scams at their highest during the holiday shopping season?
Yeah, we really do. You see certain kinds of scams really take off during the holidays. That's because we're all busy. We're not maybe looking quite as closely as other times. We're spending a lot more money. And so just when you spend money, you track scammers. All those things add up to a real problem during the holidays.
One of the other things that happens in the holidays is that people feel more giving. And so they also are looking at charities. It's also the end of the year, so they're looking for tax breaks and different things, so charity scammers come out.
Well, let's start there then. How do we know if a charity's legit?
Well, I think I'll start if I can.
Yeah,
so there are a couple great places people can check out to find out if a charity's legit. There's a great website called CharityWatch.org. That's CharityWatch, one word, .org. Another one is just give.org, G-I-V.org. That's actually a BBB site. And you can just go on there and type the name of the charity and see what kind of ratings consumers would give them. The other strategy I like a lot, and this is going to sound really, you know, the government recommending this, but what I do a lot is I just go online and I type the name of the charity or company, and then I type scam right after it. And and you can bet that if somebody's had a problem with that charity or that company, they will write in there, you know, the name of the company and scam. And that's a great way to find out what consumers think about charities, businesses, everything.
That's good advice.
Yeah, especially if you're seeing a lot of really questionable responses to the charity. The unfortunate thing is that it takes a little while to get those on there. So sometimes if it's a recently new con charity that's on the web, you're not going to see something maybe for a week or so.
So, Chuck, that's why it's important to report these? Is that how they get on that list a little faster?
Absolutely. I mean, we get reports about charities all the time. If you're reporting about charities, you can report actually to the FTC and also report to the Montana Attorney General's office. Let them know as well, because both of them, we're all watching out for these kinds of scams and trying to get the word out as quickly as we can.
Okay, so we recognize some legitimate charities like the American Red Cross. How many scammers are out there trying to fool people that they are with the American Red Cross?
Well, two things. First, most charities are legitimate, as you've already suggested. And so, the problem is there are a few bad ones, but most of them are great. And so I wouldn't be fearful about giving money. But there are entities, companies that try to fake as if they're a legitimate charity. They're what we call imposters. And there are plenty of imposters out there in the charity world and also in the entire business world. Imposters are one of the major problems we're seeing these days.
Chuck Harwood is with us here, director of the Northwest Region for the Federal Trade Commission. Been there a little minute or two since 1989. That's a lot of years going through this. When did we start really recognizing that we needed more and more consumer protections as we kind of got into this internet and online trading and shopping?
Consumer protection goes back to medieval times when people worried about things like weights and measures and stuff like that. But in the modern era, As the internet has grown, starting in the 90s and early 2000s, it's become possible to engage in all kinds of tricky tactics and to hide yourself and to be in another part of the world. We've really seen the need for consumer protection to sort of help consumers out, because a lot of these things, you can't tell yourself if it's a scam or not. It looks legit online, and so you really need to have tactics available and strong law enforcement to back you up.
Is it all internet scams now, or are the scam artists still out there packing a briefcase?
Well, they're everywhere. But internet's one of the major ones. But you know, how many of us get robocalls every day? Those are frequently scams too, and those sadly have not gone away despite our best efforts. And we still see a lot of scams arriving in mail. The FTC just did a big case recently involving mail scams. And then finally, there are scams face to face and bricks and mortar scams as well.
Yeah. What was that mail case?
The mail case involved a couple different ones. One involved prizes and sweepstakes. You know, you've won or you can win, just enter here. And that one actually was a worldwide scam, because mail was sent all over the world to consumers, and there were millions of dollars. When we finally shut them down, the perpetrators had things like they'd bought a condo in Cabo San Lucas, and they had cars, and, you know, they'd spent a lot of money for themselves. Nobody won much money, though.
Was that stuff then confiscatable to try to get some of that money back?
Yep, we're actually about ready to send the money out on that one in the next couple of months. In fact, we've sent out a lot of money to consumers over the past few years. In Montana alone, since 2017, we've sent out over $3.8 million to Montana consumers. That's in money that we got back from scammers.
Wow. And that is something that is, I think, unusual, because early on, we could not get our money back from scammers. But is that changing a little bit, that dynamic?
Well, it's hard. I mean, it is really hard, because a lot of the scammers know that we're out there looking for their money. And so they move it offshore as fast as they can. It's not unusual to find a scammer that's moved the money two or three or four times before we finally get onto them. But, you know, through persistence and good law enforcement, and frankly, we get a lot of help from the FBI and U.S. attorney's offices and states, we're able to get some money back. But still, it's just a drop in the bucket compared to what scammers take.
A lot of bad players out there in the international community, too, isn't there?
Yeah, really, there are.
Is that changing?
I mean, if you look at just this year alone, estimated losses that we've heard about, this is actually for Montana consumers. Let me see. This actually is nationally over $4 billion we estimate were lost to scammers. That's basically in the last year.
Wow. That's a ton of money. That's why, obviously, scamming is big business, and federal consumer protection is out there in a lot of ways, too. Chuck Harwood is with us, our guest here on AARP's Fraud Watch Friday. Al Ward is in studio. He's state president for AARP Montana. What are you seeing in Montana, Al? I know you get out an awful lot.
You know, I mean, just from the data that the FTC has provided us in the past couple of years, we realized that from, I think it was 2019, the losses in Montana were $3.5 million, and in 2020 it was $5.5 million.
Okay,
and
so
I think that was billion, wasn't it?
Yeah,
it was billion.
Yeah, actually, if you look at just this year, the first 6 months of this year, we've received reports from Montana consumers about losing $5 million. And that's just Montana consumers in 6 months.
Yeah.
All right. What's the trend on that? Which way is it trending?
Well, the dollar amounts are certainly going up. They have every year, pretty much. And that's just, by the way, that's just for people who report to the FTC. And we only get about 10% of the actual scams get reported to us. So you can, you know, as Al suggested, the number is way higher than that number.
Well, I'm going to give a quick shout out here to the FTC as far as how you can report these. Consumer.ftc.gov. That's right to the Federal Trade Commission. If you've got... you know, to report fraud, it is reportfraud.ftc.gov. That's still correct, right?
Yep. Love to hear from people. I was just checking this morning. We're getting more complaints, more reports all the time from everyone around the country, including from Montanans. Please report.
Oh, well, at least they're reporting, but what they're reporting is not. That's not good news. Let's kind of go into some more of these specific scams. We talked about the charity, and I know a lot of those precautions are going to be the same, but let's go to fake shopping sites. What do we have to watch out there?
Well, this is actually, this is, you know, where the internet excels. It's easy to set up a site that looks just like the real thing. So what's happening is consumers, particularly during the holiday season, we're all trying to find that must-have gift, that important thing that we need to get, that last thing. And we easily can fall in these traps where we're going to a website that looks like it's a legitimate site, that looks like it's the real thing. And it's basically just a site that's set up only to steal your money. So you need to look for, you know, do a couple things again. Try typing the name of the site with scam on it and see if you get, see if it comes up. Look closely at the information on the website. Are there misspellings? Are there inaccurate informations? And then, you know, I think it's a good time of year to actually be just a bit more skeptical than we usually are, because, you know, what I tell people is, you know, find that inner skeptic that's been hiding all year and ask yourself, would I really be able to buy this must-have game or product for this price? Is it really legitimate or should I be skeptical? If you're seeing things like that on these sites, you know, think twice about whether you really want to spend the money on it or not.
And especially for items, I'm noting here again, AARP Fraud Watch, they have a real good site. You can go to aarp.org/fraudwatchnetwork. Things like sporting goods. In Montana, that probably plays pretty well.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure, you know, this time of year, we're all, it's a holiday season, snow's starting to fall. We're thinking about getting out there on the slopes, or maybe it's, you know, some new hockey gear or something like that. And this is when you're going to see the sales. And scammers know that, too. They know that if they want to scam you now, they want to sell stuff that you might want to buy now. So that would be like sporting goods.
Got a quick text message here, 781-627-5483. And this is wise, too. On the internet, sites, the prices look too good to be true. It probably is a scam. I know you just said that. So education is getting out in that regard. So those are fake shopping sites. So obviously there's more to those, too, because you may buy a product that they're not going to send you, but aren't they really after your credit card information?
Sure. So what they're trying to do is actually what they're really after is something like a gift card or some, or maybe wired, having you wire money. But they'll also take your credit card too, whatever they can get, honestly. The reason that they'd like to get gift, what we call gift cards, those are the cards that are basically, you know, you can buy at the end cap of grocery stores and things like that, is because you, it's really hard to reverse payment on those once you pay the money. And so, you know, if you want to get your money back with a credit card, you have options. You have up to 60 days after you see the charge on your credit card statement to actually dispute the charge and explain that you've been scammed. With a gift card, if the money's gone, it's going to be gone, and you're not going to be able to reverse it.
AARP State President Al Ward is in studio. We're listening to Chuck Harwood via phone. He's the director of the Northwest Region from the Federal Trade Commission. We'll come on back and talk about the supply chain, Chuck, and how maybe that is complicating or making us a little more anxious about this holiday season. And if we're more anxious, we're more susceptible to rush or maybe not take the kind of precautions that we need to take to protect ourselves. Yes, it is the ho-ho-ho holiday season. Don't get scammed. We're back with more here on in just a bit on Voices.
Hi, we're the Oak Ridge Boys.
Scammers steal billions of dollars from unsuspecting people every year.
We are working with AARP's Fraud Watch Network and the Department of Justice to keep you from being a victim of fraud.
They have vital information for you.
They will help you get in touch with folks that fight fraud every day.
Go to aarp.org/fraudwatchnetwork.
I'll say it again. We're going to trim the turkey. Don't let those turkeys trim you and your wallet. It is the holiday scamming season, our shopping season. God bless you and yours for the holidays, but let's protect ourselves. We're here with AARP's Fraud Watch Friday, State President Al Ward, and Chuck Harwood from the FTC, Director of the Northwest Region. So, Chuck, thanks again for being here. You're in that Seattle area. I don't know if you can look out your window at some point and see boats lining up out there in the Pacific. I know we've discussed it an awful lot. We're seeing a supply chain issue. It's been going on actually since the pandemic really took hold. That is an opportunity, I would imagine, for new opportunity for scammers.
Yeah, you know, so first on the ships, I can see ships actually lined up, not right here from my office, but I occasionally hang out on one of the islands up north in Puget Sound. And, you know, this year, for the first time ever, I looked out in the bay outside and there were these massive ocean-going cargo container ships just sitting there at anchor for weeks at a time. This is in the middle of nowhere, the resort area.
I know they got my Gizmomatic Prestolator out there.
If you tell me which ship it's on, I can try to make arrangements to get out to it. They haven't moved. I assure you, they're still there.
So how does that change things at the FTC?
Well, so the problem is, those kinds of supply disruptions are a godsend, a gold mine to scammers, because what that means is they can use that as a further excuse for why your product hasn't arrived yet. It'll never arrive, but they have plenty more time now to provide excuses and explain why it's not, why they haven't sent it or why you haven't received it. They just keep blaming the supply chain. Oh, well, it's beyond our control. We're working our best to get the money and get it to you. It'll never arrive, though. You'll just lose your money. But still, for them, it's a great excuse.
And I saw in some of the information provided on Fraud Watch Network that on shipping dates, if there's no date given, then if you buy something online, that seller has to ship within 30 days. Is that a nationwide federal law? Has that been relaxed because of our supply chain issues?
Yeah, well, so that's a great question, Tom. And a couple things on that. First of all, no, the laws haven't changed. They're still the same, even during the supply chain crisis. People often say to me, 30 days, I mean, shoot, I can get stuff in, two or three days, depending on who I order from. Well, so that 30-day thing came from a time when we all ordered out of the Sears catalog, if you all remember back that far. And at that point in time, you'd order something, you'd probably order by mail. Maybe by phone, and 30 days to actually get it shipped to you was not an unreasonable expectation then. It just took time. Obviously, the world's changed a lot. We've now come to expect 2 to 3 days. And so what we look for a lot, and so 30 days thing still applies. So they make no promise to you about when they're going to ship it or when you're going to get it. 30 days applies. But a lot of shippers now give you a date. This is when we're going to receive it, or which is implying that they're going to ship it before then, or this is when we're going to ship it. When they do that, they have to comply with that statement. So if they say we're shipping in 2 days, or they're saying you'll get it in 2 days, they're implying they're going to ship in time for you to get it in 2 days.
Well, the other thing about that, too, is that most of them also give you tracking information as far as what they're shipping. So if they're shipping it at FedEx or UPS, they give you the tracking code so that you can go into those databases and find out where your product is.
Let's go into that a little bit. I know that you mentioned that too. This is all part of perhaps some of the phishing scams, but to specifically when we're ordering and we're not receiving the merchandise, what are some of the recourses?
Well, so first of all, we have a couple things you can do. First, we should go back actually to the shopping part later, more about the shipping thing. But let's talk about recourse if it doesn't reach you. A legitimate merchant should offer you, if they can't get the product to you in the time they say they're going to, they should offer you an opportunity to renew your order or cancel your order. And that's required by law as well. And if they're not doing that, file a complaint. Because we're looking for those cases, we're working on those cases, and I have no doubt we'll have more of those cases in the months ahead. But if you don't get it and they don't offer you an opportunity to refund or to reschedule your shipment, that's a violation of the national law regarding when things have to get to you.
What are some of those cases that you have seen related to our supply chain issue?
Well, a lot of the cases we've seen have involved products, a whole range of things, everything you can imagine, from clothing to electronics, pretty much every product that people have been ordering has been affected, and we've seen complaints about all those areas involving shipping and involving timely delivery.
Chuck, I got to take a break, and we'll come on back, and I'm going to kind of continue this conversation regarding supply chain, because I think it affects everything as we're talking about here to protect yourself for this holiday season. But phone delivery scams, there's travel scams, there's letters from Santa scams. I mean, that, yeah.
I mean, I know. Talk about victimization.
Right. Leave Santa alone. We'll be back with more Fraud Watch Friday right after these headlines from Brian Bennett.
From agronomy to the economy, at Northwest Farm Credit Services, we get your business. And we're here to help by sharing resources and tools with our customer members. What kind of resources? Everything from business management webinars to agricultural market snapshots to numerous online tools. We're a lender focused on agriculture, which means we're a lender focused on you. So if that focus makes sense for your business, give us a call. Northwest Farm Credit Services, here to help you grow. Equal opportunity provider and employer, equal housing lender.
Fraud Watch Friday here on Voices of Montana. We're from the Northern News Network. You can join us, 866-627-5483. Or if you want to text a question for Chuck Harwood or Al Ward, that's at 781-627-5483. Have you been the victim of a scam? You can just completely be anonymous here if that has happened to you and you want to alert the FTC. It's more officially done in various other ways here. As I mentioned, I gave some of those numbers out and those website locations out. The phone number is 877-FTC-HELP, 877-FTC-HELP. But feel free to do that here. This is a good resource for that. Again, it's Chuck Harwood, Director, Northwest Region Federal Trade Commission in studios. Al Ward, State President for AARP Montana.
You know, the other thing that's important, there's a AARP has a Fraud Watch Network, and there's a phone number that you can call. It's 877-908-3360. And if you get questionable calls or emails and you don't really think that they are crimes and you don't want to report them to law enforcement or anybody, call the Fraud Watch Network and talk to the people there. They'll give you good information about whether or not it might be a scam and then direct you to the right places to go to get it reported.
Before we get to the Santa scams, Chuck, anything else to kind of relate out there regarding supply chain? Are there any areas that are especially hit in terms of products?
So first of all, there are legitimate supply chain problems. And, of course, what we're seeing there particularly is things like computer chips are in short supply. So what we're hearing about is electronic products and goods are hard to get. And people should just expect that. And, you know, if it seems too early to wish people Merry Christmas, it's not if it comes to shopping, because right now already people should be looking for products if they want to get them, because it's just going to take longer, particularly if it's something that involves chips. But then the second part of this is the scammers are using the supply chain thing to take advantage of us all. And for that part, you know, again, I would just suggest you need to look around, look at the prices, check with other people, do some research before you buy a product, because we know they're in short supply. If you're waiting till the last minute to buy the must-have gift of the year and suddenly you're finding a shop that has it, you know, check again. Check that inner skeptic that's usually in your head and ask whether, in fact, it's really a scam.
And that's a good, you know, it's to what are the hot items of the year. There's a note here from AARP, you know, the Fraud Watch Network, about the hot must-have holiday gift scam. What are some of those must-have items this year?
Well, I have...
for you and your family.
I don't know. I'm sure my wife has a list. I haven't seen it yet. I better ask. Huh?
All right. I'm asking a dad that question. My fault. Sorry.
I'm confident that, again, it's going to be new games and things like that, like it's been for the last few years, for example. We're hearing about new video games coming out. So I'm sure those will be popular this year again. But, you know, that's something that that we all want to watch for. We'll see pretty soon what's hot.
All right. We don't have a ton of time to set up the letters to Santa scam. But, Al, you want to relate a story about how it can affect a lifetime.
Well, the unfortunate thing about Santa scams and different kinds of cons is that sometimes they'll actually try and get information about the kid that's going to get the letter to Santa. For instance, if they have a social security number or something like that, it's just like phishing for anything else. A number of years ago, I was talking to a sheriff from southeastern Montana, and he was just really upset because he had a kid who was turning 18, and his parents were drug addicts, and they had gotten him a social security number when he was very young. They had wiped it out, and so by the time he was 18, he had no credit. He couldn't even get a college loan.
The scammers had wiped out
the parents had used his credit card to buy items that wiped out his credit.
Oh, and that's a sad story, but that's why we talk about protections and consumer protections, because they do have lifelong consequences. We're going to come back and then hit some more of these scams here, not receiving the merchandise, porch pirates, travel scams to discuss as we are protecting ourselves for the ho-ho-ho holiday season. I can't do the show without doing my Santa laugh. Back with more.
Voices of Montana continues right after this.
Imagine income for life, saving money on your taxes,
and helping troubled children.
Yellowstone Boys and Girls Ranch Foundation gift annuities generate lifetime income with payout rates as high as 8.6%.
And gift annuities qualify for the 40% Montana Endowment Tax Credit,
generating state and federal tax savings for Yellowstone donors. Contact Yellowstone Boys and Girls Ranch Foundation today.
Or visit us online at yellowstonefoundation.org.
You're listening to a podcast from the live Voices of Montana radio show. Be sure to check out the full podcast page at voicesofmontana.com for a full listing of all our programs. We've been covering Montana issues for more than 20 years. Thanks for listening today.
We're 100 years old now. Well, no, our show's two decades strong and working on three. But I'm talking about the Federal Trade Commission. It was actually created in 1914 by President Woodrow Wilson, signed an act into law, opened its doors shortly after that. And it's a bipartisan federal agency. They've got a unique mission to protect consumers. And then also part of that mission is to promote competition. So, you know, that's something to not gloss over, is that when you're protecting consumers, you're also at the very same time promoting competition. That's part of one of the things that the FTC, the Federal Trade Commission, does. We are talking with Chuck Harwood, director of the Northwest region for the FTC. He's based in the Seattle area, more than 30 years there with the FTC. Chuck, thanks again for being here. Al Ward is in studio, AARP president for the state of Montana, a storied career in law enforcement. Some of that does include out there on the West Coast, an advocate for adult education. We'll talk a bit later on, too, about your connection to Earl Oldperson, who recently passed away, Blackfoot Chief. But thanks for being in studio here, Al. Good to see you.
Good to be here. I always enjoy coming down here. You guys
It's because of the cookies, isn't it?
You guys are good. Well, yeah, you know, it's all the extra stuff that I get.
I know, yeah. There are no cookies in front of us here, by the way.
We do have water, though. And it actually has a radio station on it.
So, Chuck, let's hit these Santa scams.
Yeah. Boy, talk about taking advantage of kids and things like that. I mean, what happens is parents think that they are going to they think they'll get their child a custom letter from Santa Claus. And what happens is they order the letter for a child or grandchild. And what's really going on is the scammer is doing two things. One is they're taking the money that's paid for the letter, and then they're collecting personal information about the kid or the grandkid at the same time. So it's really a twofer in terms of the way that folks can be injured by these things.
Are there legit Santa Claus letters out there?
Yeah, I'm sure there are. But, you know, I think this strikes me as a great opportunity to tap a friend to help you out
to
write a letter. Why pay for one if you can get a friend to write one for you to send your child or grandchild?
Yep, that's good. So there's another thing I think to hit here, too, is the porch pirates. We're probably seeing more and more. I'm probably lackadaisical about that as well. But according to some information here, you know, there was a survey of about 2,000 consumers, and 36% of them said that they had a package stolen from their doorstep. How do you prevent that?
Yeah, it's really grown to be a real problem. And you know, what we know is that there are a lot of ways you can prevent it, but it takes a little bit of effort. And unfortunately, most of us don't make that effort until we're victims ourselves. But there are a couple things to do. One is you can oftentimes arrange for a hold for pickup. There are places you can go, either post office, FedEx, UPS. If you're getting your shipment through FedEx or UPS, you can usually go online and change the delivery plans online. Obviously, it's a good time to get to know your neighbors. You know, let them know that you've got a package coming that day, and you'd appreciate they'd watch out for it. Some folks have their packages sent to their workplace. They're still going in their workplace. That makes a lot of sense, too. A lot of companies like Amazon offer lockers where you can have stuff delivered. And it may make sense this time of year in particular to think about using that kind of option instead of just having it sit on your porch.
Yeah, that's an interesting one. That's something that I didn't know about. So that's probably new and in response. And that's the protection and the competition thing working hand in hand, right?
Totally. I mean, you talked about competition earlier, and that's what the FTC is all about, that too. When a need arises, we love to see competitors come up with new ideas to serve the consumers.
And then what about requesting that signature confirmation? I don't know if that's an extra charge I need, how has that evolved?
I'd say, well, that basically says that they won't give it to somebody until they've got somebody open the door at the house and sign for it. And that makes a lot of sense, particularly if you're looking at a more expensive product. If you're ordering a computer, maybe it makes sense to have a signature confirmation. If you're ordering a new dog toy, maybe not so much.
Gotcha. Yeah. For a $10 hat, no, that ain't going to happen. Here's a text message, 781-627-5483. Just got a scam call. Okay, I don't know the nature of that call, but just got a scam call. Can these numbers be blocked, eliminated, reported, and tracked down?
Yeah, well, we're trying to do that. But let me tell you a quick story about that. So I got a scam call yesterday. I thought, I'm fed up with these. I'm going to call this number back and see who's calling. So I called that number. The guy who picked up was surprised, and he thought I was a scam call. And he said, I didn't call you. I have no idea why you're calling me, and I'm not sure you're not a scam. And, you know, it turned out that they were spoofing his number, faking it. Mm-hmm. So for those of us who are trying to stop this, one of the first challenges is telling exactly where those calls are even coming from. It's so easy to spoof numbers these days. So I could block that number, but I'd just be blocking a legitimate number. We're obviously working on strategies to fix that. A lot of the calls come from overseas. We talked about this earlier. We're working on strategies to try to ensure that numbers are accurate all the way through the system. But it's taking time to do that. In the meantime, we're still suing these folks whenever we can find them.
Yeah, that's good. I don't know. I always pick up my phone, and more often than not, I am hanging it up right away. But there is a do not call registry that is administered by the Federal Trade Commission. And it's there's a number on it, 888-382-1222. Or you can sign up at donotcall.gov.
Yep, and we use that all the time. And I, you know, if I get a call, I'm on the registry at my house, and if I get a call from a number I know that I don't recognize, I'm pretty confident that's going to be a scam because I'm on the registry and legitimate telemarketers shouldn't be calling me.
Yeah, that's the way I feel about it, too. Most of the legitimate businesses actually do not call you if you're on the registry.
Yep. They'll scrub their list against the registry. Yeah, a legitimate one will do that. The scammers, they don't care. They're, you know, they're violating law anyway. Why not violate another law while you're at it?
That's right.
You know, one of the other things that we started to talk about is phishing attacks. Seems like, according to an American cloud-based information security company, during the first 2 weeks or the first week of November, phishing attacks go up 400%. And that's one of the things. And, you know, obviously phishing is people that are calling to try and get information from you. And, you know, people fall for those. A lot of them are, you know, basically some of them are robocalls. Some of them are imposter scams. But for the most part, what they're after is your information.
Yeah. They're also oftentimes, Al's right, but oftentimes the other thing we see with these is there's some malware associated with the actual.
If it
comes as a text message or an email, it could be malware too. And that's basically an effort to try to get into your computer and get the information out of your computer.
We see a lot more in imposter impersonator scams this time of year too.
We do, and we just released a report at the FTC that talked about the top kinds we're seeing, and our report showed this was that 1 in 3 people who reported a business imposter scam said that the scammer appeared to be Amazon.
Mm.
So, you know, 1 out of every 3 calls these days is somebody claiming to be from Amazon. 1 out of 3 text messages where it says, you know, we're contacting you because we've received this order. 1 out of 3 instances where they call and say there appears to be a problem with your order or your account or your something like that appears to be Amazon. They're not.
And when it comes to Amazon, they want you to go to your account to deal with information. They aren't going to call you.
Right. Good luck getting Amazon, the real Amazon, on the phone. They're not going to call you.
So there's a lot of red flags, and a lot of that is basically, as you keep saying, you know, or say, do the research, type in a basic search, company/scam, and see what comes up there. There's a lot of things that people can do. Al had mentioned if you don't use the internet, like our friend Pat, and I get that, there's a phone number or a couple of phone numbers out there. You can call the Montana Department of Justice, the Montana State Auditor. There's Adult Legal, Adult Protective Services. The FTC is another avenue. Chuck, what do we do after the fact?
Well, so the problem is there's that head slap moment when we suddenly discover, I'll leave out the four-letter word.
Right.
I just gave a scammer my Social Security number. I just gave a scammer my credit card number. I just sent the scammer money and a gift card. And, you know, if that happens, you need to respond as quickly as you can to it. Act quickly is the key thing to think about. If you know what you gave out, try to call the credit card company. Try to call the gift card company if you have it. If it's an identity theft situation, it's a good time to think about putting freezes on your credit reports, which annualcreditreport.com has information about that. But act quickly is the key thing to do, as quickly as you can. If you wired money, MoneyGram and Western Union have numbers you can call to take care of that. Finally, if you sent cash, and this is a tough one, if you sent cash, actually the Postal Inspection Service can try to help you intercept packages. There's actually a number which I can pass along, but just, if you type in USPS package intercept, USPS, U.S. Postal Service, package intercept in the internet, you can find that information. So a couple of different things. But the main thing is, remember, act quickly. Don't wait.
Yeah, that's the note I put down here for sure. Chuck Harwood, Director, Northwest Region, Federal Trade Commission, Al Ward with AARP in studio. I'm going to take a few more minutes here. The gift card scams, I think one of the things to remember here, as noted in the information, treat the cards like cash, inspect the gift cards before you buy. Some thoughts about holiday employment scams, Chuck.
Yeah, so we're all hearing about, there are job openings everywhere, let's face it. Employers are looking to hire people, but they're also, scammers know that, and they know that they can use that searching for jobs as a way to steal consumers, applicants' information. So what I would suggest is, if you are thinking about applying for a job that involves providing an employer information, make sure you know who you're dealing with. That means being careful not just to respond to something that might pop up in an email, being careful not to respond to something that might just call by phone, but instead you initiate the contacts, you initiate the communications, and provide the information very carefully. Give out limited information at first. Be aware that that scammers are trying to steal that information. One of the areas where we saw a lot of increases in identity theft complaints over the past year was in connection with various kinds of unemployment claims and other claims by people who are trying to get in just enough work-related information to file unemployment claims. So I suspect that some of these job application things are really just trying to get enough information so they can turn around and file an unemployment claim with the unemployment division at whichever state they're in.
Let me ask a follow-up here regarding do your own research. You know, there's a lot of review sites out there. Some of them don't appear legit to me, fact check the fact checkers. Is that become a growing problem in terms of, companies putting their own online reviews on there? Are scammers adopting that as well?
Sure. So two things on that. One is, different review sites with different levels of credibility. Some of them review only things that they're given free. Products, for example, and so their views are limited. Some of them are just out and out scams. I suggest against, obviously there's legitimate sites and it's not too hard to find them, but the other thing to do is to try what I suggested, which is just the name of the product or the company, and then type in scam or fraud and see what comes up that way. Read a number of the posts that appear on those sites and see what they say. But the other thing is, what we've seen is companies try to limit legitimate, consumers who have a bad experience posting negative information about them. And that's a problem, too. There's actually a new federal law that restricts companies from conditioning, for example, refunds on a promise not to say something negative about them in the future. If you're faced with that, that's happening to you. I want my refund back, but I'm not willing to agree not to say that it's a bad company in the future. And they're trying to offer you to do that. You should let us know, because that would be a violation of federal law. You can report to the FTC.
Good information there. I'm going to let you go. What's the holiday mood out there on the West Coast? I know the Seahawks are kind of in the game still.
They're still there, but just by the skin of their teeth. But I'd say the holiday mood this year is upbeat. You know, last year was looking kind of bleak, but I think people are looking at, everything's looking up this year.
Well, good. I'm glad to hear that. The same here. God bless you, Chuck. Have a happy holiday for you and the family, and we'll chat with you again, okay? And we'll give those numbers out. We'll post them up. You know, the FTC is an agency that is for consumers' protection and also to promote competition, and it's important. Thanks, Chuck.
Thanks, Tom. Merry Christmas to you, and to you too, Zal.
Thank you.
Thanks, Chuck.
Going to take a quick break here, and we'll come on back with more to close it up here for the I could really do a Santa laugh. If you want me to, I could really bust it out.
You are.
I'm going to save it for a little closer to December. Okay.
Close my eyes and just picture you over there.
It's not hard. We're back with more here in just a bit.
Growing up on the Crow Reservation, I know the struggles that Native Americans face. Too many children have been traumatized because of their vulnerability. They are often left isolated and alone to deal with these pains. For some of these natives, drugs and alcohol become the way to cope, and others want to completely remove the pain. Suicide has devastated too many families and communities on the reservation. If you know someone who believes there is no other option but suicide, please know there are people who will help. Text MT 741-741. There is help out there.
Broad Watch Friday, presented by AARP Montana. Got those numbers out there. Got those sites out there. If you want to go back over that, just do a quick search to AARP Montana. You can always contact me here, too, at Tom at Voices of Montana. With Al Ward in studio here, I just want to save a quick word, Al, or time for a quick word, because we had talked about the passing of a Blackfeet tribal leader, Chief Earl Oldperson, someone that you know, knew on a pretty personal level.
I've known Earl for 26 years. And in 2006, he gave me a name. So that technically made me a Blackfeet.
What was he like?
What's that?
What was he like?
He was one of the most kind people I know. He was very dedicated to keeping their culture. He was doing things like recording songs, recording language, and doing everything he could to encourage young people to get to know more about their culture.
Yeah. And the ceremony you were at?
What's that?
The ceremony. You were there.
Oh, the ceremony, his memorial ceremony was at Browning High School. And it was amazing. There were, you know, everybody from the governor to Senator Tester and people like that were there.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Al. Good to see you in studio. We'll see you again in December, eh?
Yes.
Take care, you guys.